What is going
Log
on?
Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Nate.
Hello?
Kleinfeld. Hey, Stephen.
Hey.
You're on the air. How are you?
I'm on the air. I'm doing great. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm good. This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. We had a glitch, but we fixed it. Yay!
Thank goodness.
I know. Tonight, my guest is Stephen Dos Santos, author of The Culling and some other books. We'll be talking about The Culling in a minute, but I want to introduce Stephen really quickly right now. Stephen is a native of Florida. He was actually born in New York City, moved to South Florida at okay, 5 years old. That's enough. He wrote his first book, The Enchanted Prince, when he was a second grader at South Beach Elementary School, and it was a critical success. From then on, he's been writing ever since. Young adult novels are spewing out of him like you'd never heard. Stephen, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thanks. I mean, welcome. I'm welcoming myself. It goes to show you how frazzled I am. thanks for having me on your show, Nate.
It doesn't take much to frazzle it. Like, you know, one phone call doesn't work and it's all over. Okay. Let me read all about The Culling, which is a first in a series of a young adult book. Let me just read a little piece for you and then we'll talk, okay?
Sure.
Recruitment day is here. If you fail, a loved one will die. For Lucian Lucky Spark, recruitment day means establishment. A totalitarian government will force him to become one of five recruits competing to join the ruthless imposer task force. Each recruit participates in increasingly difficult and violent military training for a chance to advance to the next level. Those who fail must choose an incentive, a family member, to be brutally killed. If Lucky fails, he'll have to choose death for his only living relative, Cole, his four-year-old brother. Where do you come up with this stuff?
You know, people have asked me that question because, I guess it's a little bit, out of the ordinary. But I guess the idea for this particular series was something that was brewing ever since I was a little kid. And I could trace the origins back to when I was a kid. My dad used to tease me and he used to say, "Oh, well, who do you love more, your mom or your dad?" And that thought kind of stayed in my head. And I would always imagine all these scenarios. Well, what if I was in a situation where I could only save one person? Who would it be? And that idea stayed with me. And then when I decided to start writing young adult novels, I thought, you know, that would probably make a pretty good story because, you know, the whole book would be basically centered on this moral dilemma. And I thought it would be interesting to explore the reactions people would have if they were put in that situation.
Right. So, like, instead of going to a psychiatrist's couch or Dr. Phil or Oprah, you started writing. I mean, what kind of father asks these questions? You know, who do you like better? Who do you like? Yeah, that's
exactly. Okay. Exactly. It was like therapy. So basically, the book is one long therapy session.
Right. And for my listeners, my regular listeners, they'll start laughing because they all know my story, and I don't think Stephen does because he doesn't know my psychosis. I am married to a psychiatrist, actually, in the gay community. So I hear all this stuff all the time. And you're lucky that you did find an outlet because that's kind of a weird, you know, dad. Okay, sorry. Sorry, Mr. Dos Santos. Okay, so you've been writing since the second grade, and
yeah. This
is not your first novel. Is that correct? Your first published novel.
Well, actually, this is my first published novel.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tell us about your others, though. You have two others that are somewhere out there.
Yes. I actually, when I seriously started writing, it was back in 2001. I mean, I had always, going through school, I had always written, like, for the school newspaper, and it was, you know, wrote plays and you know, stories. But when I actually was determined to get published, it was back in 2001, and my first, the book that I worked on, it was called Darius Divine and the Necromancer's Curse, and it was more for a younger audience.
Uh-huh.
And so I wrote that. Of course, I tried to get that published. That didn't get published. Then that was interesting about that book was it was for middle grade audiences, you know, younger kids. But there were some overtones. I mean, I didn't have any overtly, you know, LGBT characters in the book. But I decided, you know, it was something that I always wanted, because I think, you know, ever since I was a kid, I liked all these stories, but I never saw any other, you know, gay people in stories.
Right.
So
right.
After The Darius Divine, I decided, well, you know what, let me try writing a young adult novel, and also writing a young adult novel that the main character would be a gay male. It was this paranormal espionage story, which was kind of neat. And it was called Dagger, which happened to be the name of the main character, because I had noticed that, you know, slowly but surely, books with gay main characters started coming out. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with Alex Sanchez, Rainbow Boy, Brenton Harder's Geography Club, and David Levithan, Boy Meets Boy. Those had started coming out around early 2000 to mid-2000, like between 2003 to 2005. So I started writing. I thought, you know what, this is the perfect time for me to write a book like this, because whereas some of the other books were dealing with the coming out issue, I thought, well, maybe wouldn't it be interesting to have a story where the issue wasn't somebody coming out? They just happened to be the star of this big sci-fi or paranormal or mystery. So I wrote the book Dagger in 2007, which was the book that actually landed me my literary agent.
Wow.
Yes. And it was really exciting, you know, because, you know, we tried shopping the book to a lot of major publishers, and I got a lot of, like, great feedback. I mean, they thought, oh, this is great, this is fun. But you could tell there was always that underlying feeling like, well, about having a main gay character, there are some people that had issues with it. And I actually had direct feedback, which pretty much blatantly said that was the reason that they were hesitant about publishing the book.
Wow. Well, as a you know, I'm a lot older than you, and I've been through all, I call this three phases. I've been working in GLBT books for about 13 years. I was the board chair of the Stonewall National Museum and Archives, the Stonewall Library, America's largest gay and lesbian library, and I've interviewed about 200 authors. Look, I think you're in the 200 something range, and the first set of gay authors, of course, was the horrible, you know, persecution, and the gay person had to kill himself at the end, and the second was this huge amount of angst and coming out, and, you know, the AIDS crisis and losing people, and now we're in phase three, and you mentioned it, you nailed it right on the head, and that's just a novel. And the main character or the protagonist or is a gay person. And that's what people are looking for right now. And this is you are in actually the biggest selling chunk of gay literature right now. The self-help books were the biggies until about 6 or 8 years ago. You mentioned Alex Sanchez. He was the beginning of the you know, Simon and Schuster picked them up, and then it was the young adult series novel. So you're riding the crest, Stephen, right there. So why science fiction? Why a fantasy world?
Well, you know, what I love about, first of all, I've always loved science fiction and fantasy, but in a book, especially like this, The Culling, I felt that what I love about science fiction is that it gives you a chance to, even though it takes place in a society that's supposedly not our own, it still gives you an opportunity to explore issues that are pertinent right now. Because I think my book now, even though it takes place hundreds of years in the future, there's still issues there that resonate that anybody now can relate to. And it gives you a chance to explore it in a more creative way.
That's good. That is great. Do you think, now this is just, I have my own theories, but I'm going to ask you, does it seem to you like there is a greater percentage of people either interested or aware of the love of science fiction in the gay world than in the straight world? Are there more gay people involved percentage-wise, do you think?
You know, I've noticed just in my own personal interactions that there definitely seems to be a lot of gay people that are into sci-fi. Whether or not the mainstream has noticed that, I would like to think that they have. But, you know, I'm not so sure that they have.
When you
read studies, I mean, there was a young adult author, Melinda Lowe, who writes books with lesbian and bisexual characters, Ash and Huntress, and she did kind of like an informal survey of LGBTQ characters, young adult fiction, and according to the 2012 stats, it was actually kind of depressing because it said only 1.6 of young adult books published in 2012 included LGBTQ main characters.
Right.
And most of those were published by LGBTQ publishers. I think the big six, like HarperCollins and Random House and Simon & Schuster and all those, only published 30% of those books.
No, I know.
So, yeah, so there seems to be like a disconnect. I think that they're not really, I think maybe it's changing now, but they're not really that tapped in as to the, the reading habits of LGBTQ people. And also the assumption that heterosexual teens and adults, they seem to think that, well, if a book has an LGBTQ character as the main character, that they wouldn't be interested in reading that book. And I think that's completely erroneous.
It's totally false. I can tell you it's totally false. Just from my own, and I probably, I live in this bubble of, South Florida, which you live in, you're in that same bubble with me. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of young kids, gay and straight. I see a lot of young gay kids that have straight friends where it's like a no big deal. It's like, being Swedish, being gay is not
that bad. And even, TV, look at TV shows like Glee.
Right.
Like the most popular couple is Blaine and Kurt.
Right.
These teens, things have changed. I think that the publishers need to catch up to that.
Right, and there is a disconnect. There's a huge disconnect in publishing on what people are listening to and what they're reading and where they're reading it and how they're reading it. I know this radio show, just in the small radio show in the last 2 years, I get feedback that a growing number of my listeners are not listening to this sitting at a computer. They're downloading it. They're listening to it on their iPod later. They're listening to it at 4 o'clock in the morning, downloaded in their car. There's all sorts of permutations that I don't think the publishers are picking up. I don't know what the deal is, but you're right. There is a disconnect. I do have a friend that writes science fiction with a GLBT twist, and his name is Esten Dunn. He's been writing for a long time, and he has a funny line about science fiction, and that is because originally when he started writing, there was no gay science fiction, and that's because gay people didn't exist in the future either.
Of course, yes, they don't. And I'll let you tell your story, and then I'll share something with you.
No, I'm done. That was its joke, that we didn't exist in the past, and we don't exist in the future, so why not just write us in there,
Well, what's funny, I've noticed some reactions to The Culling have been people, it's interesting, just to show you how people aren't even used to having books with gay characters. Like, I'll get comments like that people are actually shocked that the fact that the character is gay is not a source of conflict in the book. Because they hear about the horrendous premise of the book, and they think, like, well, obviously, in that society, gay people are going to be treated, that's going to be a source of a big, big problem. And they're like shocked that has nothing to do with it. It's very strange because they're so used to every time there's gay characters in this book, being gay is the problem.
Right. And it always has to end up badly, for the gay guy. That's what I grew up with, and that's what a lot of people grew up with. And you're on that, you have the luxury of those people, you're standing on their shoulders. I mean, those are the guys that, wrote those books and got the fight, got the thing so that it is just another character trait. It is just it's baggage. You're writing.
It is baggage. I mean, you still get people, like I said, I've noticed a couple, not many, just a couple comments where people, since the book is told in the first person, and the first person, my main character Lucian Spark, is gay.
Uh-huh.
I've heard some people comment, like some females comment that, like, they think that they're reading about a girl because they still haven't grasped that a guy could have romantic feelings toward another guy. because they're just not used to it.
Correct. Correct. You have to remember that prior to your wave, your third wave, gay just meant sex. It didn't mean love. It meant, you just wanted to go out for sex. Gay was about porn, not about love.
Exactly.
So now, And now we're writing love stories, and it's just throwing people. But you know, I do a lot of romance writers, a lot of gay bromance or whatever they're called. I think, are they called bromance? I don't know what they're – no, they're called something else. But anyway, there's a gay romance, and those are their largest sales after gay men are straight women.
Yes, yes.
So straight women love gay porn.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, this, my book, obviously, it's a young adult novel,
right.
And like I said, it's sci-fi and it's dark. There is an element of romance in there. I mean, I wanted to have that in there, but it's definitely not an erotic story. So it's definitely nothing like that.
You would be in the YA young adult section if it was. So that's good. I think it's good that you're in that little thing. So I was just gonna like, this has been like an incredible week for gay people in politics. I mean, we've had France 2 days ago, Rhode Island yesterday. I have these little rumors that we're about to get a big, you know, sports figure come out of the closet. What are you going to do with that with young adults? Are you going to do anything with it?
Well, I think actually I'm kind of already doing it in terms of presenting, you know, gay characters, and hopefully a lot more writers will be doing it. I'm sure a lot of them are struggling to get their books published as well.
Right.
And presenting it as something just understood. What I think is funny about the wave, because, you know, of course, there's been a big wave of young adult dystopian post-apocalyptic books.
Right.
I think is funny is that in all these futures we're seeing, like, they don't even mention, most of them, 99.9%, don't mention gay characters. And I think it's funny because, like what you just said, with all these states where, you know, now with Rhode Island and other countries, I think, what is it, we're at 13 or 14 countries with marriage equality.
Uh-huh.
Why would you think that, since obviously the trend is moving that way, why would all of a sudden we mysteriously disappear in the future? You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right, exactly. So I'm just saying, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, it also, you don't write about that there was ever any conflict, that all the conflict we're going through now, you know, all the gay bashing, all the it gets better things. It's like in the future, we can pretend that never happened, right?
I look at it like, especially with my book, it's so far in the future that, yes,
right,
all those things happened. We made progress. Marriage equality was eventually achieved. But, of course, a whole hell of a lot of other things went wrong, and the world got destroyed for other reasons.
Right.
But obviously, you know, the trend is moving that way. And like I said, I've read books where gay characters aren't even mentioned. I mean, some of them were even the plots of the books are like people get matched to their significant others, and they don't even mention gay people. And I'm thinking, what would a gay person do in that society? You don't even mention them.
Right, right.
Where you're matched to opposite sex couple. So,
right,
you know.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, and it's all interbreeding. Yeah. Well, the dystopian stuff goes a little bit, you know, raw anyway. So it should have, you know, not fringe characters, but it should have at least a global look that, you know, there are gay characters, there are bisexual characters, there are transgender.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't understand why you have entire books about shapeshifting. I mean, how many books have you read about shapeshifting? About 100 here, I guess, right?
Yeah, there's been a lot of shapeshifters.
How many shapeshifters have changed sex?
You gotta be careful. Don't say that five times real fast.
I know. This is the internet. We can say anything we want. But I mean, and none of them have changed sex. None of them have transgender. They change into other people. They change into other animals. They change, but they never change sex. I thought that was, you know, kind of
Well, the whole paranormal stuff is kind of funny when you look at it, because you'll have like a 200-year-old vampire basically dating a 16-year-old girl. I mean,
right.
I don't know. That's kind of odd. But,
right.
but you know, you don't want them dating somebody of the same sex.
Right, right. That's okay. You know, pedophilia is fine.
Yeah,
you know,
bestiality
is fine. You know, necrophilia is fine. You know, all
right.
You know, necrophilia, bestiality is fine, but not. I mean, I've never seen that. Isn't that odd? I mean, except for maybe. No, I'm trying to think of. I've read ever a shapeshifting. Nope, never have. There was one. Nope, that wasn't one either. I'm sorry. Okay, let's go on. Let's see. Who are your favorite authors right now? What are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
Well, you know, what's funny is, since I write young adults, I try to read a lot of young adult, especially in the genre, you know, that I have. So, I mean, I like, well, definitely, I mean, the knife of, it's the Chaos Walking trilogy by Patrick Ness.
Okay.
That's a post-apocalypse trilogy, which I think they're making into a movie now.
Wow.
Yes, yes. And so I definitely love those. I mean, I like the darker, the Philip Pullman, his Dark Materials trilogy, which I think they made the first one into a movie, but that wasn't too successful. So I try to read a lot of young adults, you know, and of course, you know, a lot of the big young adult series, like, you know, Divergent and Legend, and of course, I mean, Hunger Games goes without saying. So,
sure.
I mean, because I, you know, I like to keep up to, with the pulse of what's going on.
Right.
So I do a lot of young adult reading.
What about Greek mythology? Because, like, your book is very, kind of gets in there a little, you know?
I always loved Greek mythology.
Uh-huh.
You know, and as a matter of fact, the society in my book, I tried, it's kind of like a mixture of, there's the ancient Greek, and even a little, like, the Roman Empire, mixed with that industrial, like, England, Dickensian England. So it's a mixture of those.
Yeah, and that's what I was bringing up. But that is like too much fun. Okay, we are, believe it or not, I've been talking to some people in the chat room. So that's where I've gotten some of these, you know, these cutie little things that I've been saying to people. I have a chat room running. We never got a chance to talk about this because we had a little technical difficulties. I have a chat room for people who don't want to call in and hear their voices. We still live in that kind of world where some of our listeners don't want their voices heard or don't want any phone numbers on their phones. So I have been – some of my questions tonight have come from the chat room. I just wanted to give them a shout. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in there. Okay, so I've got more stuff to talk about. Things have changed a bazillion percent in publishing over the last 10 years, mostly with the internet, Amazon.com, the Kindle, the Nook, the iPad, crowdsourcing. What are you doing? How are you doing this? How are you pushing this book? Because you write this book and then you get it published and then they go, okay, now sell it. What do you
Well, I mean, I know the publisher does some of the work. I mean, I know they sent the book out to a lot of reviewers. I think there was an article in The Advocate, which my book featured in, as well as Voya magazine, you know, for the media specialists in schools, which actually got a great write-up from there recently. Definitely, I've been doing my best. Social media, I mean, if you're a published author, I mean, you've got to do a lot of the work yourself. So social media has been key. I mean, with having my own website and tweeting and Facebooking and, you know, getting people to spread the word. I mean, I've actually had teen readers email me, you know, which is actually was a great feeling when they emailed me telling me how much they love the book. And they some of them want starting fan forums online on websites.
Right.
So, but yeah, you have to definitely get that out there because, you know, the publishers, I mean, they do what they can, but a lot of these books, so many books come out, as you know, that it's word of mouth. And the key is trying to make your book stand out. And I think it's great because I've gotten what I feel like has been a great reception. I think people, not just from people that are that enjoy sci-fi, people that are actually excited about having a book with a mainstream book with a gay main character. So I'm actually, you know, feeling it, you know, from in different areas, and it's great because I mean I feel like it's the kind of book that anybody can enjoy regardless of their sexual orientation. So I wouldn't necessarily label it a gay book, just like I wouldn't label Hunger Games a straight book. You know, it's a sci-fi book.
It's a sci-fi book. I would say that it's a young adult sci-fi book. And I would put it young adult first because I think you do – I think the relationships and the scenes and the thing like that do relate, I think, viscerally to a young adult reader first. And that was my take on it.
Yeah, the young adult audience, what I love about writing young adult is young adults young adults in general and young adult readers, you know, everything, there's definitely a passion there because mm-hmm. everything's exciting. They're experiencing. I mean, you know, when you fall in love right. with a teenager, it's like if you don't see that person, the world's going to end. And in my book, it literally may. So you tap right. into that raw emotion, which I think, you know, in books with older characters, the characters are more jaded and, you know, a little more cynical. So, you know, obviously it's not as passionate. So I love writing for young adults.
Yeah, it is a different world. It's, and if you and for those who have never tried writing young adults, if you're thinking of doing it, Stephen did say the right thing is to start reading young adult. It's impossible to think like one unless you have, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You'll get, you know, an older person trying to write young adult and they've never read young adult and they don't right. sound like a teenager at all. so you have to right. read, watch shows that right. and movies that are geared towards young adults, and right. You know, that's key. Reading a lot is almost as important as writing. You have right. to do both.
And the other thing that I did want to mention is that whenever you do anything with young adult, you have to look at the video games that they're playing right now. That's an incredible part of their social life. Is video games and music. So I just wanted to add those two things there because I do media work too. So we are down to the last 3 minutes of our show.
Oh my gosh, that went by fast.
Listen, my show is the fastest 30 minutes of anyone's life. I've done this. Every time I do this, I go, whew, I have a clock going. So young kid comes up to you after a book signing, all pimply, cute, regularly clothes. Mr. DeSantos, I want to write a book. How do I do it? Go.
Okay. The advice I would give, like, I mean, obviously we've touched upon the reading. Writing is key. And I would recommend joining critique groups. I mean, I got my start. Basically, I went to critique groups. If you want to write for children and teenagers, definitely check out the SCBWI, which is the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. You can mm-hmm. go online. They can hook you up with a critique group that's in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Because writing and getting feedback from other writers is definitely another crucial element to this process. And through
sure.
those conferences, you actually meet editors and agents right. that you would normally not have access to.
Exactly. Good work. And you know, I think that I just had a, you know, thought, you know, we've got all these young adult groups coming up. We've got these GSAs in all the schools now, especially Dade has a big GSA group through Pride Lines down there. And I'm wondering if they'd be interested in starting their own little group down there. That might be a great idea, because I speak to a lot of teen groups about GLBT literature, and they all have they've all come to me and said the same thing, and that is, you know, how do you get started in writing? And this is exactly what you're saying, is that do the research, do the legwork, read, write.
Absolutely.
Okay, Stephen, 90 seconds left. What's the future? What are you working on?
Actually, I'm just finishing the revisions for book two of the series, so the sequel to The Culling. So I'm excited about that. Then hopefully I'll be starting on the third one in a few months. So I should be releasing the cover of the sequel as well. That should be coming out hopefully within the next days, if not a week or two.
Nice.
So that's keeping me really busy. I have to turn these revisions around, but I'm
right.
excited because I can't wait. I've already gotten people emailing me or tweeting
Good.
Me wanting to know when the book comes out. Which actually will be coming out next March.
Okay, good. Okay, and I want to let people know that they can get the book on Amazon.com. It's The Culling, Culling. I've got it open right now. There are 24 reviews, all good, and coming in. You are trending really well on your Amazon.
Thank
page.
You, thank you. And you know, you can also get it on the Kindle version, and you
oh,
can also find the book on Barnes and Noble. They have it in the stores
okay.
as well. So,
okay,
you know, anywhere that sells books, you can pretty much get it or get them to order it. And so it's definitely out there.
Great. Stephen, thank you so much. This was a blast. We'll have you back next March with the next book. Thank you and good night.
Thank you so much, Nate. Good night.